Only 12% of Utahns who voted in the 2022 election were people under 30.
But according to the U.S. Census Bureau, 1 in 4 Utah adults are between the ages of 18 and 29.
So, what do they care about? Why aren't they voting? And how could that influence what we hear from candidates this election season? I'm Sean Higgins.
And I'm Sage Miller. On this episode of State Street, we hear from a researcher about why Gen Z and millennials just really aren't feeling the whole political process. It can be hard to get down with the national rhetoric coming from both Republicans and Democrats.
That could have big consequences for the Utah Republican Party, both now and in the future.
Full disclosure, Sean and I are fully in this cohort of voters. I just turned 28. I'm what people consider a Zillennial because I was born right on the cusp of the Millennial and Gen Z generations.
And I just turned 34, so peak Millennial for me. Part of that biggest year of people alive at the moment. Safe to say we've got some skin in this game.
We're also both Geminis. Double twin, double down. That's a lot of personality for one podcast, that's for sure. Sean, you don't gotta roll your eyes at me.
So anyway, we certainly have some idea of what this crowd is into politically just from personal experience and, you know, being part of the generation.
But we don't exactly have all the data.
For that, we turned to Melissa Deckman. She's a political scientist, professor, and CEO of the Public Religion Research Institute, or PRRI.
We spoke with Deckman to get a better idea of where Gen Z is politically. She's also the author of the book, which is coming out soon, The Politics of Gen Z: How the Youngest Voters Will Shape Our Democracy.
She told me there's a lot of discontent.
I would say that younger people are pretty frustrated with the American political system. In general, we find here at PRRI, in our recent survey of Gen Z Americans, that there's a lot of lack of trust with our political institutions, with the parties, with the media. At the same time, we find that Gen Z Americans are just as likely, if not more likely, to participate and engage in the political system. Gen Z Americans tend to identify more as liberal than conservative, but Gen Z Americans are not necessarily ideologically uniform, right? There is some variance. But I would say that the lion's share of activism is on the political left. And in recent elections, Gen Z voters in particular have been more likely to vote for Democrats than Republicans.
This is not necessarily a new trend. We have seen young generations in the past be very, very liberal when they are younger and then maybe transition to being more conservative, maybe not. I think the old saying is, if you're not a liberal in your 20s, you don't have a heart. And if you're not conservative when you're older, you don't have a brain. Do you think that carries water now?
There's this argument that there's a natural conservatizing effect, right? If you get older, you start paying taxes, you start paying attention to where your funds are going, you have kids, and so you suddenly are thinking about things a little bit differently, politically speaking. But generally speaking, the political science literature is really pretty clear. Like, once you have that formative identity shaped as a young adult, you tend to keep those patterns moving forward. So one good example would be if you look at Gen X. And so this was a generation for whom many young Americans became politically aware during Reagan's presidency, which, you know, by and large, in 1984, he won by a landslide. The economy was doing well. You tended to see, I think, more younger people voting Republican than before. And so if you look at partisan data today, Gen X tends to be, I think, among the most likely to be Republican compared to other generations. So there is something to be said for that. Like, those formative years that you have, those impressionable years, really do linger for most Americans. I do think what's unique about this generation, however, is that there is just a fundamental lack of trust in our institutions. And so that's maybe the one wild card here: how institutions can rebuild trust in a society where people are increasingly on their phones, they're doing less face-to-face interaction, and we have a system that's so tribal and so driven by polarization. That's kind of the wild card here to make predictions maybe a little bit more difficult.
And how is their political rhetoric and just simply approach to politics, is that different from previous generations?
I mean, this is a generation that has grown up with arguably some really unprecedented challenges, personal challenges. They've had to face a lockdown. They faced January 6th, looking at the first time that there was a violent attempt to overthrow the results of a free and fair election. This is also a generation whose economic fortunes are probably less certain than previous generations. One of the things that I found in my research, and we find at PRI, is that economic anxiety is a primary political filter for Gen Z Americans, regardless of their partisanship. And so I think in many ways, they're different in that their perceptions of what the future entails is maybe less optimistic.
Here in Utah, we have a Republican supermajority legislature. We're definitely what we'd call a deep red state, but we're also the youngest state in the country. The average age is right around 32, and we're also one of the fastest growing states in the country as well. So in order for the Republican Party to continue its large role in politics here, it needs to appeal to these young people. How much of a challenge might that be?
Well, I think it is a challenge for the GOP currently to appeal to young voters, probably in Utah, as well as other areas of the country. Gen Z is socially probably the most progressive generation compared to older Americans. Although, to be frank, they share some similarities with the millennial generation. But I think, you know, the other thing about Gen Z that's notable, and young voters in particular, is that they tend to value a larger size and scope for the federal government. So, for example, in our recent report on Gen Z Americans, we found that a majority of Gen Zers, including Republicans, are supportive of some sort of relief for student loan debt. This is not what the Republican Party is currently espousing in terms of its leadership, but there is, I think, a desire for more investment by Gen Z, even many young Republicans, to deal with student loan debt, but also to deal with climate change, to deal with gun violence prevention. And so I think the current incarnation of the GOP is not necessarily holding the same views that a majority of Gen Z Americans are on those issues.
We spoke with a young woman who's very involved in GOP politics here, and she kind of described her political views that she's kind of turned off by the snowflake pro-Trump brand that we hear a lot in national media when it comes to Republican politics. What do you make of something like that?
There is a hunger among some conservatives, and I've talked to Gen Z Republicans as well for my book, is that they want some solutions to their problems, not just grievance politics and victimization. And so I think that there are many younger Republicans who would like to see the party move toward coming up with, say, market-based solutions for climate change or helping young people invest in ways that help boost their opportunities to have good quality careers. At this point, though, I think many younger conservatives and younger Republicans I've spoken with have said they don't believe that either party is really offering those solutions. So I think in all of these areas, the GOP could branch out to appealing to younger voters, but I don't think they're willing to do that at this point in time. The risk for the GOP is that when they talk constantly about grievance, they talk about a return to more social conservative values. They talk about how race is an important factor in American society. Those sorts of things are just not resonating with younger voters. And so it's going to be them losing probably more elections in the future.
So do you think that will either force the GOP to change, or once these people become older and find themselves in more leadership positions, do you think they will change the party themselves?
I think that's an open question. In 2012, when Mitt Romney lost the Republican Party nomination, there was a pretty famous autopsy that the Republican Party did to analyze why it was the case that Mitt Romney did so poorly in the 2012 elections. And part of it was an assessment that younger voters were not being drawn to the Republican Party because the Republican Party was viewed as too socially conservative, not immigrant friendly, and not reaching out to the growing diversity of younger voters. Younger voters are only becoming more diverse, right? And so I think that there needs to be a reckoning or an honest account among Republican leaders that to try to grow the party, they have to move beyond the MAGA crowd. They have to move beyond the very conservative, reactionary voters that you see at the base of the GOP. So there is an opportunity. We'll see. After 2012, again, there was talk about outreaching to young voters of color, to women, to promoting those individuals. That didn't really happen by and large with the GOP. So if Trump loses in 2024, and who knows if that will happen or not, but if he does lose, you know, maybe that will inspire many in the party to say, look, we have a younger demographic rising that's more diverse, that's more accepting of LGBT Americans, that's more accepting of immigrants. Maybe we need to moderate our positions in order to capture more votes.
That was the CEO of the Public Religion Research Institute, Melissa Deckman.
Coming up after the break, we'll hear from three young voters on where the Utah GOP is headed and whether millennials and Gen Z come along for the ride.
You're listening to State Street.
Support for State Street comes from the Hinckley Report on PBS Utah. I'm Jason Perry, director of the Hinckley Institute of Politics. The Hinckley Report is Utah's weekly political roundup, bringing together Utah's top journalists, political thinkers, and lawmakers to help you understand how politics impacts your life. Listen to the Hinckley Report wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to State Street. I'm Sean Higgins.
And I'm Sage Miller. So a lot of younger adults don't really want to dip their toes into politics. As the youth would say, it gives them the ick.
And that goes for Democrats and Republicans.
Here's what we heard from some of Utah's young conservatives about the rhetoric in the state's politics.
I do feel like the Republican Party loses its young voters in kind of the impatient, frustrated, anti-snowflake hate rhetoric. Not saying, like, I'm not trying to call Republicans haters, but I really appreciated Governor Cox kind of pointing them out and being like, let's stop being haters and let's, like, I'm saying haters, but let's be compassionate. And I think that is an effective, I like Governor Cox for the way he reaches young people and that he's more into that kind of a rhetoric.
Most of the people I talk to don't talk about it, right? Now, what they do, what I have noticed is that it's almost like politics exists in the realm of pop culture for them. So it's like politics is followed in the same way that you would follow a celebrity breakup. So when there's something that's splashy, something that's like, makes you gasp, right? That's what they pay attention to. Now, that's not everybody. I got a few people involved that they wanted to be more involved, but they weren't sure how.
I think we're 10 years from being in Colorado if we can't better message with young people. Optimistically, on their turf, maybe talking more about the grand scheme, maybe veering away with some of them at least on social issues and talking more about governance. And I think that's how you win young people over to the party and keep the state conservative and limited government and all that sort of stuff. So I think that's vital to the long-term state and governance here in Utah.
That was Faith Hall, who you may remember from episode one, and fellow young Republicans Spencer Roberts and Zach Wilson. No, not the former BYU and current Broncos quarterback.
These three folks are thoroughly involved in politics, and they believe it's important to know what's up.
We should note that they all have their own personal political views. It's easy to put people in boxes, but young Republicans are not a monolith.
They do agree that the way GOP politicians and older Republicans talk about issues misses the mark for a lot of young voters.
And Zach Wilson, who is 29 and ran for Utah's 3rd congressional district but lost at convention, said some of the most informed conversations he had were with younger delegates.
There is a group that is going to be motivated by some of those culture wars, red meat issues. I think that will actually resonate with some young people. But from the delegates that I spoke to that were, let's say, 30 and under, there was a deep understanding of politics beyond the social stuff and how governance at the national level and at the state level actually affects them and their situation.
People in their 20s and 30s mostly want politicians and candidates to lead with solutions and look to the future.
And the economy. Everybody who's in my walk of life is poor or broke, and we're trying to look ahead, looking for starter homes, we're looking for a better future for our family, and the economy is pretty frustrating. Now, I don't know how they tie that to politics, more just like they feel bad about the economy. I don't know if they know what policies led to that decision. It's more like they just feel the pain. They're not sure about the cause. Feel the symptoms, you know.
We'll be hearing more from Spencer Roberts and Zach Wilson in next week's episode. But let's get back to this primary election. Where do young voters and campaign rhetoric come into play?
Well, let's take a look at one of the biggest races in Utah right now, U.S. Senate.
Mitt Romney is headed out the door. That means someone new is coming in. But who?
Four Republicans are vying for that seat in the primary. John Curtis, Trent Staggs, Jason Walton, and Brad Wilson.
They've each got different GOP vibes on the campaign trail. Two of the candidates are at pretty stark ends of the Republican spectrum.
Here's a snippet from the primary debate of how Riverton Mayor Trent Staggs is positioning himself. Staggs has also been endorsed by former President Donald J. Trump.
What has happened to President Trump is really, in my view, the greatest example of election interference and election fraud in our nation's history. I mean, here we have the political prosecution, persecution of a former president. If they can do that to him, they can do it to anybody. And this is just frightening. Frankly, this is, I think, the biggest issue of our day. It isn't climate change or something else. This is actually it, the weaponization of a judicial system against a political opponent.
And here's current U.S. House member John Curtis.
My voting record is 91% with Donald Trump. But that doesn't mean he gets my unconditional support. And I'll tell you, the role of the Senate and of Congress is to be a counter to the president. It's not to give him anything he wants. I think it's a false assumption to say any president is going to be perfect, right? My favorite president was Ronald Reagan. I can still find things I would have voted against in Ronald Reagan's era. And so I think this narrative that you're either all in or all out on Donald Trump is a false narrative. And the way I chose to do it when I worked with him is, look, if it's in Utah's best interest, I'm there. And if it's not, I'm going to push back.
Which direction will the Utah Republican Party take? This primary will give us some clues.
The number of young voters and young Republicans is growing, and if they don't participate, that could determine the direction the party is heading. More on that next time.
If you want to read more about the candidates' positions, head to KUER.org. We've compiled a handy voter guide on all the big races. We'll also link it in the show notes. That does it for this episode of State Street. I'm Sean Higgins.
And I'm Sage Miller.
The digital team includes Jim Hill, Raquel Davis, and Eleanor Gomberg.
Editing and production work is by David Childs and KUER News Director Elaine Clark.
Caroline Ballard is our executive producer.
And see you later, alligators. Trent Staggs has also been endorsed by the former president, Donald J. Trump.
From KUER.